Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Goes Without Saying. You're listening to Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I'm Seffi and this is Wing.
I am Wing.
This is the episode for you if you're feeling a bit anxious and overthinking and caught in just that like fucking spiral of just feeling a little bit stressed. We talk about, funnily enough, we talk about anxiety and overthinking, and we give some really good insights into how to maybe get out of those things. I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was really good to record. I think we're both feeling quite good.
Good.
Coming out the other end of it. So enjoy.
Okay, what's new with you?
Oh,
take one, sorry.
Take one.
Okay, what's new with you?
I've literally moved house. I've moved myself to another house and I could not be happier.
Stunning.
I think in the last episode, like, okay, I'm moving, I can't remember what I said, but well, I don't think we'd even confirmed the house really. Like we had put in like a holding deposit, but it's like now it's now I'm in.
That means nish.
Nothing. They can rip that out from under you.
Nothing is confirmed until you're sat in that house.
Oh, and now I'm in. It was the most hectic fucking experience of my life. I'm still absolutely knackered. Like I'm sitting in an empty room. It's probably so echoey.
But the vibes somehow are still immaculate.
They really are. Just like, you know when you have prepared yourself for shit?
Yeah.
You've prepared yourself for shit.
What did you want?
I knew I had to leave my house, which I really loved my last house, and I knew I had to leave it because the tenancy was ending. They'd upped the rent. I was like, oh, fuck this, I'm leaving. So we were like, okay, new house. And I went to so many viewings of just like...
It was a struggle for a long time.
I was like walking around like this area that I was like, I want to live in. I went into an estate agent and I was like, hey, like, I don't even think I've told you this.
No, I haven't heard this.
I went in and there was this woman in there and I was like, hey, like, I want to rent in this area. Here's my budget. Here's how many rooms, blah, blah, blah.
What's your budget? No, I'm joking. Can you tell everyone?
Pennies. and she would literally laughed in my face and was like, you are never gonna get anything in London for that.
Oh my god, can we go and find her?
She literally said, you will never get anything in London. The last thing we had went for £5,000 a month.
What a fucking...
And I was like, you are a liar.
Well, yeah.
You're a liar. So I viewed so many that were like, had like outdoor toilets and like weird carpets with huge stains in the middle, like there'd been a dead body there and things like that.
That was kind of your dream. Start another podcast, murder podcast.
Murder in my own house.
Yeah, only murders in the building.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. I can 100% see you doing it.
Monetizable, I think. Unlike.
Probably far more monetizable than this shitty little thing. Yeah, go on.
But yeah, no, I just viewed so many and we were kind of getting to the like end of our tethered.
End of our tether. Mm-hmm.
Thinking, right, we're going to have to accept one of the shitties.
Yeah.
And this was one of the last ones that I was like, oh God, like this better be good. This better be good. I bet there's going to be a fucking pile of dog shit in the corner or something. And oh my God, I think that someone must have been killed in here for how cheap it is for what it is. It's my friend like came around to look at it the other day and he was literally like, it is a mansion.
Yeah.
It's a mansion.
I need to see it with my own eyes.
You have to come round.
I need to see it. It's looking stunning.
It's like newly refurbished. Like it's all fresh.
I was going to say clean as chips, but it's not clean as chips, but it's clean and fresh and nice.
Cleaner than chips.
Yeah, far cleaner.
Very salty house. But yeah, it's just so, it's kind of in my perfect location.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it happened.
It's stunning head to toe. It happened because you deserve it. It happened because why would this not happen for you? We're all listening thinking, I know why it happened. It happened because of course it would happen. It's exactly what you need. Mm. Exactly what you deserve.
I'm still kind of waiting for the moment where it gets ripped from under me and it goes, oh my God, you thought you were going to live in that? No, not you. Not you. Back to the shed you go.
Well, that's why I thought we should do this episode, because you've had a real time of overthinking. Now you're in the house, but in the lead up, as you've said,
chaos.
You were absolutely convinced, like there was nothing I could say that would convince you otherwise, that you were convinced you weren't getting in there and blah blah blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just feel like everyone's anxious, and then when we put it on the story, on the Instagram story, it was confirmed, it was resounding that this is a real anxious bunch we're talking to. So
overthinkers.
Yeah. Yeah,
a bunch of us.
Yeah.
Overthinking is such a horrible,
yeah,
it's such a horrible place to be when you're like, I'm in a phase where I'm overthinking, I'm frantic, I don't know. It's almost you're ruining your own life.
Mm-hmm. It's the bias against yourself.
That classic bias.
That classic. I was, okay, so also you were saying about the house, and then another thing that made me think, let's do an episode on anxiety, is because it is going to be a great title, I'm sure. But also because I was having a conversation with my boyfriend, and I said this thing, which I know I've said to you, Seffi, but I must not have said it to him before. It's kind of this little, I don't know, like a little thing that I do, like if I'm really anxious about something, or if I'm really stressed about something, or I'm really overthinking something, it's a little trick that I have. Ooh. To flip the perspective.
Is this the thing that I know?
Yes.
This blew my mind. I always do this now.
Yeah, it does work.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
So I used to do this in school, and I, when I was saying it to my boyfriend the other day, and he was, his mind was blown, his life was changed forever, and I thought, have I never said that to you? But he's just not very anxious. Anyway, men don't have feelings. Anyway. So I know you're waiting on the edge of your seat.
Spill the beans.
The little trick is, so let me bring the story back to the beginning. I would find myself every day, if I made it to school, which was not often, I would, for example, a situation would happen where I'd be walking around school and I'd think, oh my God, say it's like, oh, we're in, I was gonna say first period, but would I have called it first period? Yeah.
First period. Yeah. Or are we thinking of like High School Musical?
No, I think I would have said you're in first. Oh God, I don't.
I mean,
what have you got first?
Yeah, yeah. I've got that in second period.
No, I don't know if we would have said that.
It's a bit weird.
What have you got second?
Like, no. What have you got?
God, showing my age. This is bad.
I think I'd be like, what have you got today? And they'd be like, oh, for first period, I've got...
No, maybe would you say, like, what have you got fifth lesson? What have you got fifth? Like, what have you got fourth lesson? Like,
what have you got... Yeah, what have you got fifth?
Fucking hell. I don't know.
Oh, basically, don't take me back. It sounds fucking horrific. Five things in a day.
Yeah.
Five things in a day. There are five periods in that day. No, no. I need one activity per day.
But in uni, when we would have like one lecture, I would honestly, if I had like two lectures in a day, it's like I would go to the first one, come back, have a nap, then maybe make it to the second one. Probably not. And I was paying $9,000 a year for that. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
She's got to sort out her priorities.
Honestly. Right, so the little trickster is, I know you're waiting. I would get to uni, not uni, or yeah, it would happen to you, just any time that I would be really nervous about something. So for example, you're wandering around school, you've just made it out of the house, you've just got on the bus, you've just got on the tube, and you think, fuck, I've left my fucking straighteners on, for example.
Classic situ.
Classic. If you're over the age of 30, fuck, I've left the oven on, for example.
I've left the iron on.
Yeah. For example, over the age of 80, fuck, I left my dentures in the cleaning solution, whatever, I don't know.
I left my walking stick by the bed.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hope we make it. I'm touching wood.
Yeah.
You're thinking, fuck, 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 I've done this, or fuck, 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 I'm not going to get that house, even though they've confirmed everything, it's going to fall through. Oh, I'm probably not going to get this job, even though they call me back for a second interview, I'm probably not going to get it, blah, blah, blah. Oh, this thing is probably going to go wrong, even though everything is telling me that it's going reasonably well, I'm convinced it's going to go wrong, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever is going on, you've got a catastrophe looming in your mind for some reason, and you're stressing about it. So I used to think when I'd got to school and thought, oh, if I left the straighteners on, I'd be thinking, oh my God, the house is gonna burn down. Oh my God, I'm gonna set the room on fucking fire. Oh fuck, like shit, it's gonna have dropped onto this and this is gonna have happened and the whole thing is gonna be up in flames. I then used to think to myself, This is where the little tricks come in. I would then think, if fucking a genie came down, if the universe came down and reached his big arms out and said, hey.
God is a woman? Sorry?
Yeah, yeah. If Ariana Grande came down out of the skies and said, if you set your house on fire today, then I will give you whatever you want. I'll give you £1 million. As long as your house is on fire right now, you get £1 million. I would immediately be like, fuck, I probably didn't even leave the straighteners on. Yeah. Oh, or if I did, it's not going to be enough to set the house on fire, for God's sake. Shit. Yeah. I should have turned the gas on. I should have set the house on fire properly before I left. It suddenly becomes so obvious that there's no way in fucking hell that the house is on fire and you've left your straighteners on. If someone said, oh, I'll give you X, Y, and Z, whatever you want, as long as you don't get that job, you're thinking, shit, well, I've just gone for 2 interviews and they were laughing at all the jokes that I made and they thought that my answers were perfect. And suddenly it becomes so clear that things are working out and you're not going to have this big disaster. Because if you were looking for a disaster, you'd be convinced that it wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it reveals that the actual reality is you just have the bias against yourself rather than this looming catastrophe that's going on in your mind. So I hope that helps you.
This has helped everyone that you've ever told it to. Somehow I always forget it.
Yeah. Well, it's convenient, isn't it? That little bias.
Yeah.
Oh, just forget that. It doesn't work with our anxious plans.
But that's the thing. It whenever, because I would always say like, oh, but I just know that I'm going to miss the bus or whatever, and then you're like, but you've left the house on time.
If you had to miss the fucking bus, if you needed to miss that bus to guarantee that you were going to bump into Kieran Culkin and he was going to propose and you were going to have a beautiful child together and blah blah blah,
he's already got two, I'm gutted.
If you needed to miss the bus, you would have done all of these things to guarantee that you would, but you haven't. You're fine. You're not going to miss the fucking bus, are you?
You're not going to meet Kieran. You're not going to have those kids of your dreams.
Yeah, and unfortunately, yeah, not this time. Yeah.
I do think this is one of the most... It's such a useful trick.
It is. Trick of the mind.
Just in my voice.
Your memories.
So many. So where did that go? But it is so... It shows you that what you think is unlikely is actually likely.
Yeah.
Which is such a weird perspective, like, shift. So when I thought it was unlikely for me to get that job, actually, no, fuck, it's likely that I get the job. It's like, that, God, okay, the probability has just done a massive fucking 180.
Yeah.
Now I can relax. Chill.
Chill. Honestly, chill. Just try and chill. Jesus.
Chill the fuck out, mate.
Try and chill.
Chill.
So there's a little trick to start off the app, because I think it's honest. It does, when you're in it, when you're in the pure panic and you just have to think, look, if I wanted things to be, you know, it just, silence the mind.
I always call that the straighteners thing. I'm always like, you know that straighteners thing, if you wanted to leave your straighteners on. It's like, I kind of can never quite remember it, but it's like, I just know the straighteners thing is there. And it's like, Wing, tell me the straighteners thing again.
Because it is good. It does work.
Oh, it's great. It's fucking great.
Because the mind, tricky place, hey?
Oh, God.
Tricky place to be spending literally all your time.
Exhausting place to be.
Absolutely exhausting. Sorry, we just had a quick break. Steffi's talking about how much she loves Final Destination 3.
Final Destination 3 is the best.
I feel like you need to hear this.
Final Destination movie. Because of one of the tanning bed scene. Horrifying.
Awful. Can you explain it if people haven't seen?
Well, I highly recommend it, but I highly, highly, highly recommend the classic Final Destination 3 based on the roller coaster death.
Awful. Thing.
And it's basically that they have like a vision on the roller coaster that they're going to die. So they get off the roller coaster. Then they all die. It's like they've cheated death.
Mm-hmm.
So they all die in the order that they would have died sitting on the roller coaster, but all in quite brutal ways.
The most brutal.
And there's this amazing added like element of people taking photos and they all die.
Oh, you're really selling it.
In the photo kind of gives them a clue of how they're gonna die.
This amazing added element, people taking photos.
And then you see how you're gonna die in the photo.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking awful.
There's just one scene that, if you have seen Final Destination, or even, to be honest, heard it through the grapevine, it's kind of the thing that you'd hear in like science class. There's this scene like where they're in these tanning beds and they get trapped in them.
Again, showing our age. Like 10 years ago when it came out, maybe. I don't think anyone's in science now talking about it.
Final Destination 3. But they just get trapped in these tanning beds. I don't know why we're talking about this. It's just so, like, why were we talking about this?
Why did we start talking about it? I don't know. You probably just brought it up. But I did say, it's the classic thing that if you thought to yourself, oh, I'll get everything I want, everything's all I need is for this little plank of wood to knock onto this and that thing to drip into that and that's going to set on fire and then it's going to knock into that thing and that's going to knock into that and then I'm going to die.
And somehow we get trapped in the tanning beds and burn alive. It's like, yeah, awful. Pretty unlikely.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking unlikely, isn't it?
Only going to happen in a Final Destination movie.
Awful.
There's also just one thing that always freaks me out about Final Destination. Obviously, I watch these movies too young or something because they just haunt me. There's just a song that always sings and it's like when they know they're gonna die. Oh. Like someone goes onto the tube, they're on like, I guess they're on the subway in New York.
Yeah, and they hear the song.
And someone starts busking and it's like, there is someone walking behind you.
Oh, I hate this. Oh. This went from a really safe pocket and now I've got chills. So I'm listening to this now feeling really scared. So they were feeling so relaxed and someone. Now they're really on edge. Now they think they're gonna die. You're fine. You're fine.
Yeah. The next line is like, there's someone like walking your footsteps.
No, Steffi.
Can you believe?
No, stop it.
If you're on your late night walk, sorry that this is coming out in winter, you're on your late night walk.
You're gonna really freak them out.
Sorry.
Yeah, why don't you give them a sincere apology now?
Apology video. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for bringing up Final Destination 3.
That's our first scandal.
Guys are 15. We're all over the age of 15.
No, we're not. We're definitely not.
We're probably not all over the age of 15. No. Yeah. So ask your parents' permission to listen to this. It's a 12A podcast.
I mean, I suppose it's just like, don't. It's all ages. Unsuitable across all ages. It's like hardly fun for all the family. It's the opposite of universal.
Misery for all the family.
Yeah.
I've got one.
Okay. Got one message.
I quite like.
Is this just to me?
No. I've got something to say.
Go on. Absolutely. Yeah. Take it away. You don't have to ask permission.
No. It's just something that someone wrote in.
Yeah.
We asked on the story. What is going on? I feel like I'm just not... God knows. Right. So someone asked... We asked... Not someone asked. Steffi and Wing, the Instagram that you follow, asked on the story. Something. We asked something about overthinking and anxiety.
I didn't put that on the story. Did you put that on the story? I didn't put that on the story.
There is someone walking behind us.
Don't.
Someone wrote, anxiety doesn't impact what happens, but tints how I view what's happening.
Love it.
It's kind of a classic saying when someone says, oh, I'm overthinking, I'm feeling anxious. It's like, there's no point in overthinking because it changes nothing. And I used to always do this because I used to experience such horrific anxiety at uni the night before like seminars and things like that. It was the worst anxiety I've ever experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always think when I was lying in bed the night before, like, there's literally nothing I can do right now. There's nothing I can do that will help. I'm this thought, this thing I'm on right now where I'm tossing and turning and my like stomach is in fucking knots is changing no outcome. It's just making this harder.
Yeah.
And it didn't really help. It helps you like rationalize, okay, yeah. There's nothing I can do. But it's like, but then why can't I stop?
Yeah.
Why does that not help me? I do think it's important to like know it though. That yeah. It's like, okay, so what I'm doing right now is not helping. If anything, it's making it worse.
Well, some things that can be enough to shut down the... If it's something repeating like every time before uni or whatever, you're anxious. But if it's a small thing, it just randomly caught, random train of thought.
Stressing about blah, 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 blah.
And you're just in a stress mood. Yeah. Little moment.
Like it literally is not changing anything. Yeah. All it's doing now is making your current experience more unpleasant.
And then if you end up having that unpleasant thing, you've just done it twice now.
That's the crucial thing. But it's not even you've done it twice. You've done it probably about 112 times. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Stressing about your driving test. My driving test. Think every night, going to bed, thinking about driving test. Every waking hour, you're thinking about your driving test. You're only going to do the test once, hopefully, if you pass. Touch wood. I'm touching wood that you're all going to pass the test first time. You're only going to do the test a limited number of times.
Yeah.
But for some reason, you've done that test like 500 times in your mind.
There was no need.
For what reason?
There was no need. And often, I would always experience that, like, my anxiety nightmare of what the seminar was going to be and that I was going to fucking shit myself in the middle of the class. Everyone would look at me. I'd have to drop out of uni.
God.
And and somehow the boy I fancy is looking right at me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that didn't happen. Realistically, I answered all the questions perfectly, I must say. Maybe with a bit of like a red cheek.
Bit nervous.
Bit nervous. Might have stuttered once. But no, I didn't kind of trip over when I walked in.
Looking around seminars, I used to think everyone looked so nervous.
Because everyone was so... Well, I don't know. If you were in a seminar with me, I apologise for my behaviour. I probably didn't speak to anyone. I looked at the ground and just thought, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, get me out.
And you did it.
And I did it. Well, I did as many as I could possibly go to.
Mm.
So odd.
We are a real anxious bunch though, right? Like as a species. As a species, as a little community here, just as a community, right?
I don't necessarily know if we are more of an anxious community. I just think we're more honest about it.
Do you think?
And slash we just ask them quite openly rather than we say, what were your thoughts on Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson dating? And every just comes out. We actually say, what are your thoughts on anxiety and overthinking?
100%, 100%. But more so just like, I think everyone's getting more and more anxious. As a society, I mean.
Do you think they're getting more and more anxious?
I think people have always been anxious and whatever and blah, blah, blah. But I definitely think mental health is declining massively.
Oof.
I do.
Because I almost think, I like to think, I don't know if I even do think, it's like, oh, there's more of an awareness of it now. That's the growing in numbers and blah, 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 blah.
I think there is.
But also the society is doomed, that it's like, okay, well, we've kind of tailor-made a society that is going to produce the most anxious and depressed people. It's kind of the straighteners thing. If you didn't want to create a load of anxious people,
yeah, right.
You wouldn't have created this society.
Right.
Like, yeah, okay, that kind of
well,
has.
Well, kids born in the 70s didn't necessarily have the understanding of this earth is doomed, whereas a kid born today is born into a world where they know that this planet has a pending expiry date, which does something to you.
Famously has fucking 12 more years. It's probably less than that now. Probably heard that about 6 years ago.
About 12 years ago. Yeah.
Probably about fucking 2 more years till the effects of global warming, whatever, climate change are irreversible.
Oh, it's happening now. Like,
that's the thing you hear when you just hear that growing. Or maybe I did just because I'm from some fucking vegan household. But I very much had an awareness of like, you may not be able to have children in the future because the world will not be the same. It's like, that's not a normal thing to hear.
I definitely think people are getting more anxious.
Yeah. And I don't blame them.
I don't blame them.
I mean, that's horrendous.
Yeah, it's not good, is it? It's not nice.
Does part of you... God.
Yeah, go on.
Does part of you want the apocalypse?
For God's sake, that's not what I thought you were going to say.
But, like, does part of you want...
Go on, tell me why you want the apocalypse.
I don't... Oh, no, no. I don't think I want it, but I definitely think a part of me desires... I think it's the tabula rasa, the blank slate, the wiping of all the shit. Kind of I want Noah's Ark to happen.
You're a bit of a Thanos. You're a bit of a Hitler. Yeah.
No. I kind of want the world to be flooded and us start again.
No.
But like no death. I don't mean the death. I mean I want like society.
I don't know how you're going to get around it without death.
No. What I mean is I just want like the systems to be erased. I wouldn't mind it if like the internet just dropped now.
No more podcast. Why though? So what, you're craving something there. You crave an escape. You want to leave this earth basically.
I think I crave like a return to like nature.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. But we were just saying before we started recording that like people have really, I think we kind of said humanity has really lost their way.
They've gone astray.
As if we are like, yeah, we're like these like omniscient beings that just speak over and like run this commentary on humanity. But humanity has like lost its connection to like the fact that we're just animals roaming around like kind of like, give me some nuts and I want my beans and like kind of crazy. It's like
we
should be kind of running around.
Suddenly we're eating bacon. It's like, well, sorry.
Even that though, I don't mind. I would love to have some bacon, but like
no, I don't mean that it's me. I don't mean that it's me. But we're eating like or take it away from fucking food because I've got my own fucking shit of fucking born a vegan.
We're sat on iPhones, for example.
Yeah, we're wearing clothes that were made by a 12-year-old in India whilst I wear a top that says fuck the patriarchy.
With the sole purpose of like, it's not about making you camouflage to hunt better or like keeping you warm in the winter. It's literally just there to mark you as someone who looks a certain way.
Yeah, it's insane. By the way, I'm not wearing a t-shirt that says fuck the patriarchy.
Yeah, no, you're not. Hang on. What does your top say? Your top says...
It says peg the patriarchy. Did you... I literally cannot get over how much I think that is the worst
yeah, I did
thing I've
that.
Ever seen. Peg the patriarchy at the Met Gala.
I think it's cool, but I also think... Oh yeah, but I think you would think it's embarrassing because you think girl boss is embarrassing.
I think peg the patriarchy, and there's that interview which is like, you'll know what it means. And it's like, oof.
No, I think she's cool. I don't hate. Don't know this person.
I don't love that top.
You're allowed to not love the top. Totally.
Whatever. Peg the patriarchy didn't speak to me as a motto, but...
Yeah, it didn't connect with
didn't
you.
Connect.
It didn't connect. It didn't hit.
But whatever, she can do what she wants. I saw her once at a festival, Cara Delevingne, and
really?
I ran up to her and went, oh my God, hi. Because I thought I knew her. I was like, oh my God, hi.
And now you're slagging her off on your fucking podcast.
No hate to Cara.
You are the biggest Cara Delevingne hater I've ever met in my life.
I've got no
thoughts on this
girl.
About how much she hates Cara Delevingne.
I've got no thoughts on her other than I didn't love Peg the Patriarchy. And I once saw her at a festival and went, oh my God, hey. And she went, hi, looked confused, and I walked off.
Oh, what festival?
At Wilderness, when I was like probably about 14.
It's random.
I had bright pink hair at the time.
And you thought you knew her.
And I was like, oh my God, hi. Like, I kind of couldn't place her. Like, kind of, is that someone that I like know vaguely? Oh my God, hi. And she was wearing a onesie and she's like, hi. And probably just like, yeah, 10 millionth person say hi to me. Hi, roll up.
Hi,
roll.
Hi again.
And I was like, who was that? Nice. And then afterwards I realized it was fucking Peg the Patriarchy, Cara Delevingne. Anyway.
Shrug. Yeah, I've literally got nothing to say. Sorry. Okay, anxiety, please. Okay, I like this, actually. I think it's a really interesting point. This person said, I don't experience anxiety, but when I'm burnt out, I just wanted to flex on everyone. Literally everyone came in, I'm so anxious, I'm so anxious. This person was like, yeah, I can't relate. I don't experience anxiety, but when I'm burnt out, I overthink about how I'm coming across to people. Recently, I noticed how much happier I am when I'm not overthinking. So if I'm super busy, but being super busy makes me burn out. So my happiness isn't sustainable. And I just thought that last point was very interesting about like, if you're constantly trying to find the balance in life of like keeping yourself at a good point or like at an okay point of contentment, you're just constantly running against, it's like if I'm constantly trying to make myself feel okay and I'm trying so hard to have to make myself feel okay, I'm never gonna feel okay because I'm constantly trying, like I'm working against my human nature. Like maybe it's just not meant for me to be happy, like, you know, like to sustain happiness over a long period. How realistic is that?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I've always thought it was weird. I think we've always thought it was weird, and I think we've said this on the podcast loads, but there's something about the idea of I can only be happy when I'm busy that is like alarm bells ringing to me of you can only be happy when you're distracted from yourself. But then I am seeing more, I think also lockdown kind of gave me this idea that, like, why do you need to distract yourself from yourself? But I think now, like, as the world is blah 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 reopening, fucking nightmare, close it down again, please.
A flood, she's asking for
a flood.
Flood the place,
and I shall be the one to build the ark.
If we're going 2x2, God help me, let me be the duo.
It's just me, you, Kieran Culkin, and Sebastian Stan.
No, I don't want... I can't even put it... But it has.
You don't want Sebastian Stan?
No.
Who would you want?
I don't want anyone. I just want to be...
Just me, you, and Kieran. Okay, I'm not sharing him.
I don't want to be with you guys. I don't want this to be a romantic... This isn't a romantic sexual thing for me.
Okay, well, it's just me and Kieran then on our arc.
Yeah, why don't you can go on your own. I'll be in the flood. I actually love to drown, but anyway, story for another day. Go on.
Okay. I love to drown. What was I gonna say?
Shit.
Before I start talking about the animals going 2x2,
hurrah. Anxiety, if you have to distract yourself from happiness.
Yeah, and now as the world is reopening, cancel the flood, put the flood on hold, the world's reopening.
Yeah.
I am kind of seeing the value in busyness, which yeah. It does sound like maybe I should just go get a life, to be honest, and do some things, but I do now suddenly see, okay, I do see the value in, like, being busy.
Not so jaded anymore.
No, because I used to be like, I don't need to do anything, I don't need anyone, I quite like just being in my own company, doing what I want, doing what I want whenever I want. Maybe now it is nice to have some kind of structure and routines of, like, okay, on Tuesday you do this, on Thursday I'm seeing the value against my will of these things. So I don't necessarily think that those things hinder getting to know yourself, and I actually think those structure can be a way to know yourself in a way.
Yeah,
so I do get that, but I've always kind of had a bit of a thing of, like, why do you need to be busy?
Yeah,
why do you need to be busy? Like, if your happiness is dependent on being absolutely worked out of your mind,
distracted,
maybe there's an issue here. But maybe not. Maybe I'm the weirdo.
Well, no, I think if you know that, I mean, what are we if not distracted by all of us knowing that we've got 12 years or however long we were saying and we're not talking about it? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In what form, in what ways is the distraction a problem, and in what ways is it literally just another survival mechanism? And what kind of, what's wrong with that? Like, if that's when you're happy, then that's when you're happy.
Yeah.
But I was thinking the other day about having safe activities or, like, safe ways to pass the time. I'm not the most anxious person, but you know that I am I'm chronically stressed and also just deeply miserable and whatever, blah blah blah. But when I was in my rut but when I was feeling really, really bad, I was talking to my friend about, like, I'm finding that sometimes the ways, like, people will be like, journal or meditate or X, Y, and Z. If the ways that are supposed to, if ways to pass the time are supposed to make you feel better. So, for example, a way to help pass the time, something that I love to do, if I was illustrating and making this beautiful thing, I'm not at that point anymore. A new logo. I'm not at that point anymore because, I mean, so, like, at the beginning of this year, I was pouring in all my hours into, like, working as an illustrator for people, and it became wrapped up in my self-esteem. So that is not a safe activity for me anymore, because if I sit down to draw something and I'm not happy with it, I've ruined my fucking afternoon and I'm pissed off and I'm a disaster and I'm the worst, whatever, blah blah blah, blah. And it sets off a spiral of, I've tried to do something a bit nice, forgetting that it's not just a simple activity anymore. It's like illustrating, writing, these things are wrapped up in my identity, they're wrapped up in my self-esteem.
Yeah,
they're not safe things. So now I'm playing piano.
Are you?
And it's going really well. Well, I can play All Too Well, 10 minute version, which is the easiest song ever.
Wow.
But
wow,
I am in no way a pianist. I'm actually terrible at playing the piano, but I found a safe, easy thing that I can do. Yeah. For today, next few weeks.
Do you know what it is? It's that you've got no history of, like, identification with piano, with pianist.
I've just always wanted to play the piano. No one's ever said, you're great at playing the piano, so it's fine.
I think this is such a crucial thing.
Finding safe activities.
And it's things that you don't have this identity, because I agree, it's like writer, so it's like writing, it's like, fuck, if I'm shit at that, I'm shit as a human,
I have nothing left. Yeah
it's insane. It's like that's supposed to be my only thing.
Yeah,
so if I fuck that, then I'm fucked. But then if I suddenly want to make a dress with a sewing machine, I've got no identity other than the fact I used to want to be a fashion designer when I was like 16 for like a really intense year.
Yeah, even that's a bit close for comfort. Yeah. But it's hard to find purely safe activities, because we've lived our whole lives judging ourselves and ranking ourselves and marking our own success as a human being on how well we perform in certain activities, which is why it's really hard when you're feeling bad to do some nice things for yourself. Just take care of, why don't you just take some time to sit and, you know, create something? It's like, do you understand what creativity means to me? I don't, because you obviously can't, because it's gonna destroy me. Like, safe for me to do that. But if I can play piano for 10 minutes and it sounds terrible, that's, I don't really care.
I've got no ego attachment to it.
Yeah, it's fine to play the piano really badly for 2 hours on a, that's fine.
Because it's not your quote-unquote thing. It's not your, you've got no attachment to your identity.
Because I know I'm bad at it. I'm not going to be disappointed. I already know I'm bad.
Well, it's like you identify as bad at piano. So, okay, well, then I'm living up to my idea of myself.
Exactly. Anything then that I do is a bonus, rather than like having spent all this time doing something. It's like, if that goes badly, it's just not a safe thing.
This is why I think it's really important to get the balance between like creation and consumption in check. Mm. Like, I always used to have a bit of a fear of consumption, like, you shouldn't really be consuming too much, you should be creating more than you consume, blah 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 blah.
Ooh.
But I actually think, in terms of anxiety and overthinking, consuming is so fucking important, because that is how a lot of people recharge. I definitely think that's why things like Animal Crossing, The Sims, fucking Succession, Kieran Culkin, my god, hallelujah to you. That's why they exist, because it's like, you need to actually just consume. If I felt responsible for creating the code behind Animal Crossing, first of all, I'd be a fucking genius, but I don't know how I'd survive.
Yeah.
You do need some things that you are on the receiving end of.
Yeah.
You don't need to be giving. You do sometimes just need to be like, I'm going to sit back and I'm not going to analyze the script of Succession. I'm purely going to think about...
Fill the cup back up.
Kieran, yeah, I just need to be in that.
Mm-hmm. When I was in my bad time, I had it was like a weekend, and I spent like the whole Sunday, I like watched Malcolm and Marie in the morning.
What's that?
What else did I watch? I watched like 3 films.
I've never heard of that.
Malcolm and Marie, I think you'd like it. It's kind of like a podcast.
Oh, lovely.
It's Zendaya.
Oh, of course.
It's really nice.
I know it. I know the poster.
I mean, it's actually not nice. It's not enjoyable, but it's quite an intense piece.
Is it black and white?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it.
It's really stunning. I think if you like film, you'll like it.
Mm.
It's not like the most watchable thing, but I would recommend it. And I think it's a bit like a podcast, because it's kind of one person gives like an amazing monologue and you're really bought in, really sold on their point of view. Then the next person comes and you're like, ooh, oh, hang on, that was a really great point. And then they kind of, it's a bit podcasty. But anyway, I watched like 3 new things on like one day, which I never do. And it was so productive. It made me feel so good.
Yeah.
Rather than doing anything else, or rather than, I know I said this in the other episode, but like putting something that I've already seen on in the background. It's like, if I'm setting out my intention to watch something new and enjoy it.
To consume intentionally.
Yeah. And it really made me feel good.
We were talking about like sort of going back to like nostalgic old shows in the last episode, but I do think this is so crucial, that it's like the difference behind putting The Office on, which is like, I fucking know that show inside out. I pretty much fucking work at Dunder Mifflin at this point.
Yeah.
Or I could sit down and I could be like, I'm going to watch... what's it called, Malcolm and Marie?
Yeah.
Could sit down and watch that. And it's like, okay, I'm actually having an experience here. And I also think that's the difference between, like a similar distinction between watching TV and reading. I actually find reading, I don't do it fucking half as much as I should. But every time I do, I just think, fucking hell, this is what I'd be missing.
That's the thing, that's a safe activity for you.
Yeah, this is the hole. This is what you've been trying to fill with fucking Dunder Mifflin, fucking Dwight Schrute talking in my ear all day. No, all you needed was actually to come home to, like, a book.
Yeah, it's nice. Because also, I was going to say, like, it is the difference between mindlessly, like... the feeling that you got when you discovered this podcast and you liked it for the first time you heard Goes Without Saying, you listened to like two episodes in one day and you were really hooked in, and you were like, God, this is a great podcast. You're never going to get that feeling back now because you kind of know us in a different way than you did before. And it's not this, you can't recreate that feeling by mindlessly listening back to the old episodes that you know inside out now.
That's interesting.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you, the new, that thrill of an experience, you need to experience something new.
That's really interesting because I never really think of us as something external, which I obviously do, but it's like, it's funny to think of like the feeling that you could have around, I had this amazing day where I watched Malcolm and Marie and blah, blah, blah. Someone had that as in, I had a great day, I listened to Seffy and Wing, blah, blah, blah.
Right, but someone also kind of puts us on in the background, they're probably on the background right now, and maybe this is the fourth time that you're listening to this episode because you use it to go to sleep, and it's doing a different thing than it would be doing if you're discovering a podcast for the first time, for example. I think finding safe, quote unquote, activities is so hard.
It has to be something that you pretty much have never thought of. I genuinely think it has to be something that it's almost like plucked from the obscurity of like, oh, that could be fun. And I've just kind of thought that it's not something that you've always kind of had a bit of a hook on.
I think it's just you have to be okay at being bad at it.
I get that, but I even think like...
Which is really hard because I can't be okay with being bad at really anything. I mean...
Yeah. What is there that you're bad... Like, there aren't many things in life that I would be okay to be bad at.
I'm okay with being bad at piano.
Really?
Because I got over that as a kid. I really wanted to like play piano wherever as a kid, blah, blah. I didn't. And I, whatever. But I, oh God, where am I? Can you see me?
I can see you.
Oh, it's blurry on my thing.
Oh.
But I think in that kind of gifted and talented kid way of like, if you slip into anything and you're really good at it, the minute you find something that you're not immediately good at, it's going to crush you. You can't live like that.
I think that's the struggle, though. That's the struggle of wanting to be instantly perfect at everything.
At everything. You're going to kill yourself.
Actually, do you know what? The one I did kind of have this experience when I built my bed from scratch. I was going to say from a flat pack, packet of fucking furniture.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is something I've never done one of those on my own ever. I'm quite dyspraxic. I really struggle with like with logic, to be honest, with instructions and like mechanisms and all of it. It's the opposite of my fucking brain. And I sat down, it would have taken a normal person probably about 40 minutes. It took me 3 hours on my own.
And you did it.
And I did it screw by fucking screw, having to undo it because I did it wrong and go back fucking four steps at a time. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things, I have no attachment to this. It's one of those things that is like, I identify as bad at it.
No, you're not about to be a carpenter now.
I never want to be. And it's something that, I've just never done, really. I've always fallen at the first hurdle and been like, fucking hell, someone come and help me. I went in Brighton, when we moved to Brighton, I paid like a young boy off the internet £25 to come and build my bed.
Which is insane.
I just posted on like a Facebook group, does anyone come and build my bed, I'll pay you. And this like little boy showed up and built my bed for me.
Did you offer him a drink? You gave him a bit of water or something, didn't you?
I kept on saying, oh my God, it was so bad. I like was like, do you want some water? Do you want like a tea or anything? Because like, do you need anything? You're just in my room building this bed that I had like cried over already like twice and done it all wrong. He had to like undo what I'd done. And I was like, do you want some water? He was like, kept saying, no. Then I gave him some in the end and he downed it so fast. Oh my God, he was absolutely gasping for a drink.
He was parched. Absolutely parched. He's begging for the flood.
You log into Nintendogs and it says parched. He was parched.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I actually think I've done this one really well. There's a few screws kind of still missing.
Shaking it.
But it's the best I could do. And I was just, I probably sent a photo to honestly, I did like a send to all in my contacts. I built this !! all on my own !!
I made this on my own. Yeah, I'm happy for you.
And everyone just replied, well done. It's like, yeah, what do I say to that? No, don't care.
But it's so good. But I know the thrill of being like, I made something.
And it's not creative to me. Like, it's not creative. It's a flat pack.
Yeah, no.
Someone else designed it. Doesn't matter if it comes out shit.
It's following instructions. And patience.
Yeah, it's Lego, which I always fucking hated. Mm. It's Lego fucking building. Build the fucking Hogwarts Great Hall out of Lego.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Don't tell me what to make, you arsehole. So I really like this response that someone said. They said, it makes my life feel so fucking small and limited, like I'm not living my life fully. Sad face.
Mm.
And I just feel like that is, from anxiety and overthinking, that feeling is one of the worst feelings you can feel, that your life is small and that you're wasting it.
Yeah, that's horrible.
I feel like whenever I felt that way, that's been like my, it's the pits, basically.
That's
when you feel like, God, that's a hopeless feeling of, I'm wasting it, it's small and I'm doing it all wrong.
You know why I don't like it as well, is because there's an added layer there of the implication that there's a way to live your life fully that you aren't doing.
There's an alternative route.
Yeah, and I do feel like that alternative route, first of all, it doesn't exist because it's not what you're doing. And is it potentially as damaging to compare yourself to this fake imaginary version of yourself as it is to compare yourself to other people? But I feel like the added layer of that being comparison of, you're seeing what you think is all of these other lives that are being lived fully, and then comparing yourself to that, which probably all of it is imaginary. And 100% there will be things that, like, choices you can make and, like, things that you can do to add new things into your life and, like, expand your life if you're not satisfied with where you are right now. But I also think, like, your life isn't bad just because it doesn't look like other people's lives, what you imagine other people's lives, or what you imagine for yourself. Like, you might just be exactly where you are meant to be. Most likely you're just doing great.
I think it's the word small that really gets me, because I think that is introduced from, like, celebrity culture. Like, the idea of social media and celebrities and all of this, I think there's this idea that there's this big thing happening that you're watching from the peripheries, that you're watching in at the Met Gala, whatever, peg the patriarchy.
Yeah.
And you're watching...
That's funny.
You're looking in at all of these parties that you'll never be at, and you'll be... your life is small because you're a nurse.
Mm.
No. And I think that is the idea. It's a capitalist idea. It's a fucking... It's fame, basically.
Yeah.
That anything that you do that is invisible is small.
That is so weird.
That's... a lie. We've all bought into a fucking lie that doing something real is small.
That is so weird that you've brought this up, because I was literally thinking just yesterday when I sat down, I was eating beans on toast, my favorite these days.
Stunning. I'm obsessed with beans on toast at the moment.
It's such a good warming winter meal. I know everyone who's not from the UK is gonna think that's a fucking
disgusting joke,
and we're like taking the piss and we're like really being like caricatures of ourselves, but it's great.
What do you have on yours? Do you just have bread, beans?
I don't like cheese. I don't like the cheese
vibe. Do you have butter?
Or like brown sauce, none of that. Yes, butter.
I have butter. And I have cheese, vegan, obvi.
Yeah, that's a really common cheesy kind of bean vibe. Is super common.
But I do get it, because I've only recently become a cheesy bean person.
Cheesy girl, yeah. I'm not the cheesiest person, to be honest.
No, you're not. You would get a pizza without cheese, no problem.
I would do, yeah, no worries. It's what people love to say when they know that I'm vegan at the moment. People are like, oh, I would love to be vegan, but I just can't get rid of the cheese. I'm like, I don't care. It's fine. Keep eating the cheese. You're eating my share of what I would have been eating cheese anyway. Like,
do whatever you want.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Do whatever you fucking want.
The cheese that I'm not eating, I'll happily give to you. You can eat my cheese then. Anyway, climate is dying though. But anyway, I need to pick my... choose my character. But anyway, I was thinking just yesterday with my beans, I was literally thinking, I'm going to try and just make my life a bit smaller for a bit. Like, I just want to have a really small life for a bit.
Okay, go on.
Because I'm just trying to be nice to myself, and I'm not trying to be horrible to myself.
Sounds nice.
Or when I have been, to be honest, I know it's a scary word, suicidal. Everyone, nobody move, nobody shocked. But like, whatever. When I'm trying to, like, I think me feeling bad can be spurred on by having too much going on. And I was having such a great time for like the few months, like take away the month that just happened where I was feeling shit. Before that, I was having the busiest time. I was having a great time. Had loads going on. I was here and it was great and blah, 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 blah. But then I also think it made me too much and I needed to like step away and just like have a bit of time.
Burnout.
Yeah. And now that I'm easing back in and like, feeling okay, I just want to keep things small for a bit, because if I'm happiest if I'm playing piano or like eating my beans. It's like these are tiny things, and it's just keeping me in a safe place. Because I mean, it's funny that being safe with myself is still out of my comfort zone. As in, like, my comfort zone is to just be a fucking cunt to myself and shove myself into all these situations and blah, 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 and just go with the flow and treat myself like a piece of shit and then feel like shit and get into the cycle of just, like, life, apparently. It's just that cycle, which I just can't do. But I just think I have to keep it small for a bit and just keep it, like, very honest.
I just find it so funny that that's seen as small, though, because it's like, because I agree that you're told that you should be living this big life. Did you know that fucking Kylie Jenner's only fucking 21, fucking Emma Chamberlain's got a coffee company, she's 21, or like the girl that just won the tennis thing is 16 or something. It's like, Jesus, these huge lives at such early ages that it's like you should be achieving this insane level. But actually, it's like, is not the kind of biggest thing you could do is fuck the fucking artificial shit. It's literally shit. Not to say that accomplishments are shit, because they're not, but the public, like, how different is winning that tennis match? I don't really know what happened. A young girl won a tennis match, youngest person. The public appearance of what that is, and the magazines and the fame and the money and the glory, is so far from her
glory
in her tennis match thing, actually playing and waking up in the morning and being like, okay, I've got it. The love is stripped back from it. It's actually something that's raw and on it. It's being turned small, turned into something fake by like the fucking media circus around it. And I actually think it's way more honest for Emma Chamberlain to be sitting there with her cup of coffee that she loves than actually the thing that's seen as like the success, the bigness of the huge thing around it, that she's got this amazing whatever. And actually is the most honest thing you can do, just sit down with your coffee and drink what you love.
I think you need different things at different times. I think it's just about knowing where you are. Like, when I was at my most successful at being an illustrator and working like full time, like I was really actually working at something and it was going really well and I was happy. But that's not where I am right now. That's not what I want right now, because I don't want to commit to anything right now. I just want some beans on toast. Do you know what I mean? Like, you, I think just know where you are.
Yeah.
Don't force, you're forcing like ideas. Just live at where you are and just like allow yourself to be. You've got all the time in the world. You really do. You really do.
I think it's when you start feeling the rush. And I think that's the thing of, I'm living small, I'm not living my life fully. You're feeling a rush. What's the rush? What's the hurry here?
Where's the fire? Where's the flood?
Where's the flood? But the truth is, it's like, I don't know whether this brings peace or fucking panic to you, but the reality of things is we all end up in the same place. We all end up in the ground or fucking burnt.
See you there.
We all end up either in ashes or in decay.
Yeah.
That's the fucking truth. I don't know whether that makes you feel good or bad.
Uh-huh.
But it's happening.
We're two people that makes us feel good, so...
It makes me feel great.
Yeah, it's nice.
Great. Because then it means everything, all the pressure is gone, it's void, nothing matters.
Yeah.
What you're supposed to do is irrelevant.
Yeah.
You end up in the same place as the Queen of England.
As Kieran Culkin.
As Kieran Culkin.
Be eyeing up that skeleton.
All the people that are doing it right and all the people that are doing it wrong, all the people that have big lives, all the people that have small lives, I'm doing quote fingers, you end up in the same place.
But also, how often do you look at someone and think, God, they've got a small
never.
Life? Never, ever.
Never.
Personally, go around judging the size of people's lives. I just hope you're happy. I just hope you're feeling good with where you are right now.
Yeah.
Because nothing's permanent. Like, you could be somewhere in June and somewhere totally different by August and somewhere totally different in November.
This is one of my favourite things. My mum said this to me once, but she was like, when things change, they change fast. And I think it is so fucking true that when things start to change, it's not like... some things are slow burners, but when things change, they change fucking fast and you've just got to be ready for it. You can feel shit at 9 a.m. and feel fucking ecstatic, amazing at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Things change so quickly.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter. You could be fired from your job today, think your life is over, and have a new job on the Friday.
And walk into the best thing, tomorrow. Yeah.
It's fine.
You are fine, yeah.
Things change fast.
And just also know that whatever's going on in your life right now is being made, like, let me give you a random statistic, probably like 60% worse in your mind. So your life looks probably like 90% worse to you. And that is going to make you feel a bit better if you can just kind of rank out the numbers and think, okay, well, I've probably got like, really, it's probably like 60% better than what I think it is. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm making this a whole lot worse. If I know you, and I think I do know you, I know that you'll be making this a lot worse in your head.
I think we leave it there.
Stunning. Look.
Because that's the truth.
I'm saying assume the worst.
Okay, well, let's...
Someone sent us a nice message saying that it's funny, and I thought, you know what? It is fucking funny.
Well, let's say it. Fuck it. I don't even give a fuck. Bring on the fucking flood, bitch. See you there, Kieran.
How are you feeling about this episode? I thought it was really nice.
I think it's been nice. It's been quite... I almost feel like it's been quite loud.
Ooh, okay. Turn the volume down.
Quite a loud episode. I don't know what that means, but I like it. I definitely like it. Maybe it's just because I'm in my echoey house. My echoey mansion, I'm calling it. I'm calling it now. I said yesterday, I'm now calling it a four-story mansion.
Mansion. Living in the mansion. Yeah. To be honest, as she should.
Well, I am scared it's going to get... I'm going to get a call to say, sorry.
No. Well, just then, you know what? You won't be there forever.
Exactly.
Just enjoy it. Nothing's permanent.
I've got an amazing thing and I'm ruining it in my head. What the fuck am I doing, people?
Yeah.
Well.
I hope everyone's feeling okay. I feel like if you clicked on this episode, you're probably feeling anxious. So I hope you're okay. And it's not going to be as bad as you think it is.
It never is.
You've done it before. You'll do it again. You'll be fine.
Comes and goes. It's all good. If you don't hear from us, assume the worst.
Evil laugh.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.